creation.
Vision.
The next idea.
What they have helped us do is to really think in a totally different way about how to deliver and create something new.
It's a long, long road from a great idea all the way to a company that's on its feet, providing jobs, pumping money into Michigan's economy. One of the biggest pitfalls is money. One hiccup in a fledgling company's funding could force that company to either fold before it ever gets going or to pick up and move to another state with more resources. Our latest contributor to The Next Idea is here to tell us about a big helping hand that Uncle Sam can give to entrepreneurs here in Michigan. Lisa Couric is managing partner of BBC Entrepreneurial Training and Consulting, known as BBC. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Cynthia.
And Greg Gage is here. He's co-founder of Backyard Brains, based in Ann Arbor. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
So, Greg, your company builds kits that, among other things, can make a cockroach leg dance.
Yeah.
Why?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it's self-explanatory, personally. Why wouldn't you want to have a kit that allows cockroaches to be controlled or to control their legs? But if I have to tell you, I will say that we're actually a neuroscience company, a neuroscience education company. And so we use cockroaches as a way to sort of get access to the brain. And so I could put a wire into your head. I could drill a hole and put some wires in your head, and I could record from your brain activity. That's hard to do. I mean, it's you would probably not feel that
probably
well.
Object.
Yeah, you'd probably object. But with cockroaches, they have very, very similar neurons as we do. Neurons are the cells of the brain, and so our company is based around the idea of sort of giving amateurs and sort of K-12 students access to tools that they typically wouldn't have access to until they decided to dedicate their life and become a PhD in neuroscience. So we sort of look at ourselves as kind of the equivalent of like a telescope manufacturer. So like, you don't have to get a PhD in astrophysics to understand a little bit about how the heavens work. You could go out and just buy a cheap telescope, set it up in your backyard, and you start becoming interested in science, maybe learning a little bit about how the stars and the planets move. In the biological sciences and the neuroscience in particular, there is no tools like that. So you have to sort of really go into a graduate program. So what we provide are these kind of really kind of DIY kind of entry level tools that do very, very, very advanced things.
So you had this great idea. How did it go from a great idea to a honest to God real company?
Yeah, so this is where I'm the co-founder of the company. So I'm an engineer by training, and I was working in a neuroscience lab, and my co-founder is a neuroscientist. We were going out to schools and just sort of showing how the brain works in the best ways we could. It was kind of all through analogy, but we were really missing out what we were doing. What we were doing in the lab was super cool. We were recording from real live neurons. You could hear them.
The wow factor.
It was really cool. I mean, I give lab tours. People loved it. So in 2008, Tim, who's my co-founder, and I decided, like, well, why don't we put together a self-imposed engineering challenge? And we're going to say, can we replicate our lab equipment under a budget of $100 so that we could sort of bring this into the classroom and sort of do what we're doing in the lab, but in the classroom? And so that's how the idea started. We just kind of did it for ourselves. We wrote an abstract for a scientific conference, and we said, it was like in March. We said, hey, we're going to be doing this challenge, and we're going to try to record spikes, which is what we call the unit of the how the brain communicates. It's called an action potential or a spike. We're going to try to record a spike for under $100. Come back in October, and you can see how we did. And so we did that, and we spent the entire summer kind of working on our prototypes and stuff like that, as entrepreneurs tend to do. We weren't entrepreneurs at the time. We were just kind of like grad students just trying to like impress our colleagues and friends and stuff like that.
Sure. So guys with a great idea.
Yeah, we had an idea.
And needed to grow.
And so then when we showed it off at the conference, we had an unexpected result, which was that people kept asking us they wanted to buy it. And we're like, oh, okay, well, that wasn't really what we had in mind, but we kept getting these emails from people from all around the world saying they wanted to buy this. And it kind of dawned on us that this little side project should be the main project. And so we just then decided we're going to start forming a company. And so we created Backyard Brains. And at that time, we were just, making the products in our living rooms and just soldering them together and then mailing them out around the world.
It's so a true tech story where you start with this idea and like you say, you're in your living room doing it.
Yeah.
And Lisa Couric, BBC, is the kind of helping hand
exactly.
to take, right, we Lisa? How did that work for these guys?
So what we do, Cynthia, is we run a program sponsored by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation to help entrepreneurs with great ideas that are based on technology figure out how to use non-dilutive federal funding, so these are grants and contracts from the federal government, to pay for the high-risk R&D that they have to do. So when Greg went to develop his idea with his partner, what happens is there's a huge gap between having the scientific or technical idea and then being able to reduce it to practice. And most sources of money to help grow a business don't want to come to the business until after that big technology risk is solved. So we call it the comeback when problem. Some business schools might call it the valley of death. So the federal government has a program called Small Business Innovation Research Grants and Contracts that help close that gap for really high-risk technologies that could have great impact in the market. But there's a learning curve on how to secure that type of money. And most scientists, inventors like Greg, know their technology and find business partners to know the business, but they have no idea how to approach the federal government for these types of grants. So we provide training and assistance, sponsored by the state of Michigan, to help Michigan-based entrepreneurs get this money. And it can be millions of dollars that can take them to the point where they can then find the resources to commercialize. And so that keeps our companies in Michigan. It lets them hire people. And these are great jobs because they're technical jobs. And because the technologies take a while to develop, that money can be the difference between them being successful and then, as you said at the introduction, either leaving the state where they can find other resources or just going out of business.
So these grants can help a Michigan tech entrepreneur cross that valley of death, as you put in your essay, the loveless land of shrugs and empty pockets, and come back standing upright and staying right here in Michigan. Greg, how crucial.
Oh, my God. Yeah. had we have not gotten this grant, I don't think I'd be here talking to you today. During that period, so you have the early adopters that will give you money, and so that helped us out in the beginning.
Yeah.
But there's this period, which is this valley that of death. I never heard of that, but that's exactly what it is. Where there's still a little bit of money coming in, but you're still waiting from the early adopters to people starting to understand and actually want that product. And so that's where the SBIR fund, the Small Business Innovative Research Funding, does well. And so I don't know, if it wasn't for the BBC, I mean, there's no way. I mean, I've written grants before at the university, but those grants, you write just the science portion. That's hard to do. I mean, it's really hard to write a successful grant. But beyond that, there's like when you submit to the federal government, there are about 70 other pages of stuff that you would never know even what the...
it's a different beast altogether.
Yeah, even the language is strange. And so that's where the BBC comes in. We had our first meeting. I think they probably thought we were crazy at first. But they kind of sat us down and kind of walked us through the process of what... And she said, the first thing is like, all right, you guys focus on the science first. And so we were doing that. And then they kind of like walked us through the rest of the process. And so
they held your hand.
They did. And it was perfect. And even the way the grants are structured was helpful for us because... we got phase one, which is the first pot of money. That was for 2 years. And then we used the BBC again very heavily for phase two, which is the competitive renewal of that grant. And that's where the money is almost three times bigger than it was for the first one. It's for 3 years as well.
And that's so smart, right, Lisa? It isn't just they get this big pot of money when they're not at a point to know what to do with that money.
That's right. And the federal program is structured in a way, and the way we work with them is structured in a way that they get it in, to use investment language, tranches. But what we've found in this program and why it's been so exceptional that we've had longevity in the state with this program is that we work on hundreds a year with our clients. They work on one or two a year, maybe. And so as Greg was off working on his technology development, when it was time to go back for the other grant, we were still there to help him get the bigger pot of money and to help him keep going in securing this money. So we're not the grant writers. Greg was and his team were the grant writers, but we help them. We help you understand how to use this form of money as part of your company's funding strategy. And because it's such a different piece of it, we give you all the hands-on training and assistance that you need to put in really well-crafted proposals.
Lisa, how aware are other entrepreneurs in Michigan about these grants and also about the kind of help that you can give them as part of the work you do at BBC?
great question, Cynthia. We have a network of partners that we work with across the state, including the smart zones, the technology transfer offices at the universities, the local and regional economic development organizations. But, you know, we find that as many people know about us, there's always changeover. And we're six people strong at BBC, but we always need help in getting the word out.
Greg, what's next for Backyard Brains? What's your next goal?
Oh, man, we've got so currently we are working on many projects. Our next phase is we're going to launch into the International Space Station. So we're having a relationship that we've been slowly building with NASA, but as you can imagine, there's a lot of hurdles you have to get mm-hmm. through. But we've been working. We've actually moved up from cockroaches. We're now in we actually do human electrophysiology now, so we can record EEG signals from the brain and from the muscles as well. And so we're working with NASA to understand muscle fatigue in space. And so the goal, if it continues on, is we're going to have live experiments being done simultaneously both in space and then in the classroom so that you can see like why do astronauts do certain type of exercises and not other ones. So we can actually measure that directly by looking at the electrical activity inside the body and what forces build up and when they don't. So turns out in space you can't lift up weights. It doesn't make any difference. Mm. You need bending and sort of like Bowflex type things. And so that's our next big one. But we want to expand. Right now we've expanded into South America. So our products they're kind of low-priced versions of kind of high-priced medical equipment. And so right now we're using it for education, but in Latin America, we're actually using it for core research. Neuroscientists and researchers are using our gear to publish, you know, scientific literature.
And yet you're staying right here in Michigan.
We're staying here in Michigan, yeah. So we're, we have, we have 13 employees now. When we started, when we were writing this grant, we had one employee. So Tim and I were half-time. Mm. So, we're continuing to grow here. And so that's it.
And that's, by the way, one of the great things for the state is, you know, this went from two guys half-time and this state-funded program, which is us, helping them. And now there are 13 great jobs in Michigan. So that's a wonderful success story, and they'll keep growing.
Lisa, how many Michigan entrepreneurs or companies apply for these grants each year with your help?
You know, it's hundreds, Cynthia. I don't know the exact number, but it's hundreds. But there's many more that do that haven't found us yet, and that, you know, and there are some that think they can do it on their own. So we're always trying to get more of them engaged so that they can become more successful.
Are we above average in the country here in Michigan?
We are above average in the country. The companies that come through our program, which isn't all of them, have about twice the success rate as the national average.
Well, a good place to get started if you're an entrepreneur is by going to BBC's website, which is bbcetc.com. And Greg Gage of BYB, Backyard Brains. Exciting, cool work, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And, of course, Lisa's essay is on the next idea page at michiganradio.org. We welcome your thoughts there or at Michigan Radio's Facebook page or on Twitter at nextideami. Lisa Couric, Greg Gage, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much, Cynthia.